The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
This is a comedy podcast. It's on the internet. If you don't want to be connected to the internet and you're listening to this right now, you might want to relocate. Get the tinfoil hats, kids. It's time to get out of here.
Whoa.
There's internet everywhere these days, and if you're listening to this podcast, it's a pretty good indicator that you're connected to it, just so you know. This podcast is not only on the internet, it's about the internet. Matt, what do we do on this podcast?
Okay, here's what we do. Strap in. It's going to be a long explanation. We go on the internet and find reviews of products, services, people, places, things. And we read them and laugh about them.
Bro.
Because there's a lot of crazy out there. Not just crazy people, but crazy places, things. The stuff you spend your money on.
Yeah, there's, you know, in real life, if you want to see some different type of people, you go to Walmart. But on the internet, they're just sort of everywhere, leaving reviews, writing down their creepy little cretin thoughts. And I think it's important for us to share them for the good of humanity.
Uh-huh.
Matt, do you want to start this week?
Yeah, it's summer, and I don't know when Shark Week is, but it's always during summer. And I guess I'm just anxious to get there. So I found this review on Amazon for what I assume is a fantastic movie called Toxic Shark.
How could it not be?
Right? Amazon user LF titles their review Unbelievably Unrealistic and writes, I'm always down for a good shark flick, but I found myself stupefied in the first minute of watching this. I fast-forwarded to see if it got better and saw a shark fly out of the water, over land, grab a human off a horse, turn around, and fly back into the ocean. Sharks fly now? It's not scary if it's not believable. Totally unrealistic. Bring back Jaws. 1 star.
You know what's fucking... The movie that's just so scary to me because of how believable it is.
What?
Nightmare on Elm Street, dude. That movie is chilling because, you know, there could just be a guy who invades your dreams and kills you in them, and then you kill him in real life. You know? But when you got sharks that can fly, that's where I draw the spooky line, okay?
Yes, I prefer my ghostly, mere-dwelling Candyman covered bee people with hook hands. Very realistic. In the projects of Chicago, very realistic for there to be some spectral murderer as opposed to a regular murderer. That's awful. But that's why they tore down those projects.
Uh-huh.
But sharks flying out of water.
Preposterous.
Know.
Preposterous. What is this? The Jurassic? Is that a pterodactyl? No. When I watched The Exorcist, the possessed girl, her head spins around in 8 different directions and she just starts vomiting, projectile vomiting. I think, oh no, that's so realistic. And I start crying and sobbing of fear. But when I see that flying shark.
You know you're safe.
Yeah. It's like watching the scene from Neverending Story where he's on. What's that fucking big dog's name? Farquaad?
Falcor.
Falcor, yeah, same thing. I just, you know, I feel safe. I say that's not real, you know. I'm a prisoner in my own mind.
Whoa.
I'm a prisoner of my own mind, and that's something that I can enjoy in that mind prison.
Okay.
You know?
As long as we've dragged LF through the dirt a bit on their opinion on not scary being not believable being not scary. What I also want to focus on is how they fast-forwarded it to see if it got better. Have you?
Sure.
Have you ever actually done that?
I would never.
I don't think I would ever too, because what, you don't know how you got where you got.
Exactly. I think us as a society today, we're a little too obsessed with continuity and making sure. TV shows have always, of every genre, have always been written and still are written, even in our binge, you know, focused media society, have been written so you can come in on any episode and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. To some degree.
Yes.
You won't be getting as much out of it as if you were a super fan who's watched every episode and sees all the little the threads coming together. But you can sit down and watch Stranger Things season 3, episode 2 and go, ooh, oh no, scary doggy run away. Ha ha, funny, funny kid, make funny joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
That being said, when it's a movie, there is a hard assumption that you are watching the whole thing, you know, that you're not coming in the middle.
Yeah. Let's say you're watching Total Recall and for some bizarre reason, you decide it's just not doing it for me at this point. 12 minutes in, it's Arnie isn't doing it for me. Again, I have no idea how that thought would manifest inside a living, breathing human being.
Yeah. You fast forward Total Recall. Arnie's just looking at cool computer boobs, and you're like, nah, you're like, I'm not really into this.
I don't know. That's strange. You fast forward again, and now there's three boobs on one lady.
You fast forward again, he's pulling an entire anchor out of his nose somehow.
You think this is some twisted body horror movie?
It kind of is, but it very much isn't. You're not getting the whole thing.
You're not getting the whole thing. You need to know who Guato is.
Yeah, it's just sort of, I'm all about artistic intent, you know? You're going to enjoy media more if you are somewhat subconsciously aware of the art, the writers, the directors, whoever's intent with this piece of art. And if you respect that and go along with it and to get that intended experience, then you can really know if it's a good piece of media or not. If you're fast forwarding after, when the shark does a sweet flying jump out the water and you decide fast forward, you're just, you might as well spit in the face of every, of Steven Spielberg, as far as I'm concerned.
Bravo.
Thank you. Should we do another? I have another corny movie review. Should we continue?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had this one for a couple weeks and it just hasn't fit in the episode. But this is a review for Shaolin versus Evil Dead.
Oh, boy.
Since I'm sure not many people have watched this bad boy, the little tagline quick description, it says, it's Kill Bill meets the Evil Dead in this rousing martial arts horror actioner starring the one and only, quote, master killer himself, Gordon Liu.
Who? What?
He's a classic karate star.
Sure. Martial arts film actor.
Martial arts film actor.
We got it.
Just so you know, this has nothing to do with the Evil Dead. I found this review because I was looking for Evil Dead reviews. I recently watched Evil Dead 2 and remembered, man, this movie is fucking awesome.
It's amazing.
The Evil Dead reviews were not juicy. I was like, these reviews have got to be juicy. Without further... What's the word?
Ado.
Without further ado, I was going to say without further review. We have a review from Revenant Magazine.
Ooh.
They title it Promising Film, But... and then a bunch of ellipses. I imagine I'm supposed to read the review next. They write, this has all you might expect from a mystical Hong Kong kung fu movie. Hopping vampires, big name stars who have the skills to pull off all the spectacular moves you'd expect in a film like this, humor, both earthy and slapstick. Good CGI, well done makeup and special effects, romance, weirdness, and yes, the much hype exploding zombie. I'm gonna not say the word, I'm gonna say little person. Granted, I have seen far better exploding zombies, but I don't think many people have seen an exploding zombie little person, so perhaps I don't have anything to compare it with.
Ooh.
The film builds with effective changes of pace towards an impressive grand finale and then ends abruptly. And then, while you are looking to see if there's a secret button on your DVD remote labeled "Play the rest of the goddamn movie," the credits roll. And to add insult to injury, alongside the credits, we get silent snippets of the rest of the movie. And that all looks better than anything we have yet to have seen.
Whoa.
So what is going on? Well, the helpful folks at the U.S. distributors, Tai Seng, have explained it to me. Apparently, the producer's plan was to release the film in two parts in the same way Kill Bill was. However, it just doesn't really work as a standalone film. The first part is good, but not that good. And just stopping the film halfway through with no warning or explanation is quite frankly bizarre and ruins the whole thing. So what do we recommend? It's trickery, as this film does feel like it was shaping up to be a great movie, but the ending is so frustrating, I worried it might have spoiled the whole thing for me. So with hindsight, I'd much rather have waited for the second half and then watched them both in one, presumably 3-hour sitting, and probably had a great time. But if I read a review here advising me this, would I have taken the advice? I can't say that's what I'd recommend you do, and even if you don't follow the advice, at least the forewarned is forearmed winky face.
Whoa.
Marks out of 5? Impossible to say, really. We'll really only know when the second one comes out. Giving it a 3 because it has a lot of promise, but... And then it ends abruptly.
Ah!
Signed, Emperor. Revenant Magazine co-founder and editor, 3 stars.
Okay, that was artful.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
But the ending, yes, that was art imitating art, I guess.
Very cute. Very cute little homage, we might say. Hmm?
Yes.
A cute little gag.
Omelette du homage, even.
This review is written in 2005. I believe Shaolin vs. Evil Dead 2 is yet to exist.
Oh, no. Or at least get distribution to people like us.
To the West.
To the West. That shakes me.
Yeah, I know you're, as much as me, a B-movie fan for sure. So it does hurt a little bit to see.
I mean, it's not dissimilar from fast-forwarding your way through Toxic Shark and being dissatisfied with the result. If you don't have the complete product of Shaolin versus Evil Dead,
yeah,
you're not. Oh, you gotta have it all. You gotta have it all.
Those thread lines, those beautiful red threads of fate weaving their way through the film's tapestry. Just end with a little singed mark at the end. I say, where does this go?
That's not a pretty tapestry.
These knots are supposed to tie.
No, there's no pride when viewing that tapestry.
I do have another review here for it, if we'd like to go into it quick.
Sure.
Jay Kramer says, rent it first. The guy above me summed it up pretty good. The only thing he forgot to mention, it is actually a pretty corny movie. Hopping vampires don't get any stupider, and the plot's stupid and makes no sense. Movie just end out of the blue. The Evil Dead are only in the first half of the movie, then are gone out of nowhere. When they come from or how they just disappear is unknown. A very common Japanese flick that makes no sense. I have about 7 or Japanese flicks, and I would say 2 of 3 of them are okay, but that's just IMO. Please rent before you buy. I just bought it about 3 weeks ago on a $5 bootleg and was a perfect copy. Just like it was rented from Blockbuster. Never would have known it was bootlegged. Rent first, buy never. 2 stars.
Or buy bootlegged.
Isn't $5 as much as a rental would be, literally?
Yeah.
Only Jay Kramer has the power, the access to this DVD black market. No normal Amazon consumer could buy a bootleg.
Why do you go to the effort of leaving an Amazon review for something you bootlegged?
I think it's a bit of a, like when, you know, when the criminal has to brag about what they did a little bit.
Bit of a flex.
Yep.
Although, just like a dumb criminal flexing about their crime, when reviewers do that thing, when they say the person below me or the person above me,
mm-hmm.
You don't know that it's going to stay that way. You don't know.
That is a gross misunderstanding of the medium of
that
review.
Takes, your power could get taken away in the future if that person above or below isn't above or below anymore. but the thing I want to comment on most, unless that sudden gasp means you have something to say.
No. Go ahead.
I haven't recently because my headphones have been a little wonky, but I use the running companion app called Zombies Run. And yep. It's, you know, where you're running around and you're on a mission. It's like a sort of like an audio book-ish thing, an audio mission interspersed with your personal playlist.
It's a bit of an augmented reality game, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can turn on, quote, zombie chases so that it'll tell you to speed up. I don't have that because I know what pace I want to run at. But there was one non-main storyline episode with... I think it was Chinese jumping zombies.
Mm-hmm. Jumping vampires. And that's a classic.
It's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Just like we have the, I don't know, what's a classic American, like the boogeyman. You know, we got America and the West has their little monsters that we go afraid of the bump at the night. China just so happens to have hopping vampires.
And zombies. And apparently zombies. Yeah. Yeah, and just... It's completely audio. I'm running around a park. That's beautiful. It's a park, but I'm hearing my radio operator Sam talking about his grandfather explaining the lore of the hopping zombies, and then suddenly we see these guys in their getup standing in the middle of the street, and then we turn around and then we hear a hop and we look back and they're closer. Hey, that's compelling. It's scary because it's different.
It's different. That's, you know, you want to be visually compelled. You want to have these exciting ideas. In the West, a hopping zombie, that's just something, you know, we haven't seen before. That's got to be visually exciting. And just to be clear, they referred to this as Japanese flick. Definitely Chinese.
Okay.
just to be clear.
That's a bit more of being afraid of what we're unfamiliar with.
Yeah. Well, sir, should we get out of terrible movie land? Do you have a review?
Sure. Let's get out. Do you want something to chew on, or do you just want...
Give me something. A nice palate cleanser here.
A nice palate cleanser. Okay. I have an Amazon review for the game Set, the family game of visual perception. It's a card game. It's all about making sets with the cards. The cards have varying shapes like diamonds and ovals and such on them, and different fills like hashed lines or solid or empty, and they come in a variety of colors. And you gotta make sets with them. It's a game I've played and have terribly failed at because I was not raised on it. In any case... Here's a review from Wilson Phillips Jr. Isn't that the band Wilson Phillips who sang? Hold on for one more day, isn't that?
Well, there is that one band, Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Okay. Anyway, Wilson Phillips Jr. titles his review, Such a Stupid Idiot Game. And writes... I bought three games by this company, and the other two are okay. This game was stupid. So stupid, my wife, who loves games, threw the cards on the floor and walked away. This game is stupid. You basically play against yourself and have little interaction with the other player or the cards on the table besides your own. Stupid. 1 star.
They have a way with words, don't they?
Yeah. I think my most favorite part, though, besides, yeah, who needs more than one or two adjectives to describe something stupidity? Stupid does the job just fine. What I love
What
the
else
most,
would it be, really?
What I love the most is my wife, who loves games.
Yes.
Threw the cards on the floor and walked away.
She love game. All right. Now, that is a fact. All right. We need to establish that for this argument. She love game. Set is game. Everyone following? She love game. Set is game. She throw game on ground, walk away in the middle.
Put yourself in Wilson Phillips Jr.'s shoes. See from his eyes. You're sitting at the table. You've got a game. You've got your wife. This is everything you've ever wanted, needed, hoped for, dreamed for. It's a casual Sunday afternoon. Until your wife walks away.
And you only have the game to blame.
Not yourself. Certainly not.
No, you not stupid. You smart. You look around for what else could have caused this frustration. The only answer, game. So, game must be stupid.
Maybe no, there's no chance you forgot an anniversary or a dinner or a children's soccer game or ballet recital or to call your mother-in-law.
He would never. He have calendar. Calendar, no stupid.
This is William Phillips Jr. He knows what he's doing with his life, okay?
He have iPhone with calendar in it. Wife put in good dates in, so no, with reminder. Two-day reminder, one-day reminder. No forget. Phone smart. Called smartphone.
That's true. Five stars.
Five stars. This game, not smart game, dumb, stupid game. How many? One star.
One. I do have another review for this, which...
Before you move on, when you said, look through Wilson Phillips' eyes.
Yeah.
I just imagine, you remember when you would see through Spike's eyes in Rugrats, the family dog's eyes?
Yes, I do.
And it would be all just like distorted and crazy. Yes. I think that's what his eyesight's like.
Oh, poor Wilson.
Okay. I'd love to hear the next one.
Yes. We move from poor Wilson to poor Lou. Lou titles his review, Ugh. And writes, I love games. And this one is highly recommended, as a lot of people enjoy it. For me, personally, it made me sick. I had to quit looking at the patterns on the cards because it gave me a splitting headache. Can't do stripes and such. If you don't have that problem, I'm sure it would be fun. One star.
I just can't believe them. I can't trust this review.
I know. How would you survive? How do you go to the zoo and not enjoy the zebras?
I can understand, you know, sometimes stuff moving on the screen, I can get motion sickness. But if you're sensitive to stripes, you know, they've researched this game a little bit. They say people like this.
People recommend it.
And it's a game about matching patterns, and patterns make you sick. You know, I just feel like they made an uninformed decision and therefore I cannot trust the review.
I feel like, well, if you don't trust it, then maybe I don't want to go down that street of feeling sorry for them. But
no,
like,
let's go down it. You know, I'm all about the putting on the old benefit of the doubt bat pack.
Benefit of the doubt. Think about this person's life. If stripes make them sick, they can't have fruit stripe gum. Oh,
they can't.
No.
They can't drive down the street. There's stripes all over that motherfucker.
Goodness gracious. When they're trying to self check out at the grocery store, they don't even want to look at the little thing, the scan bar. What's it called?
The Magoo.
Moaning. The Magoo.
The moaning. The moaning light machine.
I am bemoaning their life. But if they don't like stripes, you know, you got people in pinstripe suits walking around or baseball players. You've got, what if they don't like checkered? They can never go to a picnic or play chess?
You know, it's really the saddest part.
What?
Is they can never enjoy Jack White's music. 7 Nation Army, it just doesn't hit the same to them and even makes them sick. They hear that bass drum beat. Do, 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 do. Oh. Jack White comes in. 7 Nation Army couldn't hold me back. You know, usually that gets the whole football stadium going. Lamar, Louie
Lou,
over here.
Not
is,
for Lou.
Yeah, barfing off the back of the fucking bleachers. But would they even go to a sports game? There's stripes all over the sports
stripes
field.
All on the field. Oh, they're gonna
they
have
see
to play
those
some obscure sports.
Those little wheelie machines where the chalk lines come out of. They fucking kick that thing over. Say, you cut that out, you monster. yeah, but hard life they must lead. Yeah, they can't enjoy baseball. They can't watch the Yankees. I guess that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Do you have any more to say about Lou?
I'm just thinking of Lou Bega now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They what instrument do they play?
The mambo.
The mambo number 5. Yeah. Is that the one with the little bit of Monica?
A little bit of Monica, Jessica. There's a couple of ladies in there.
I think I'm gonna go look into these ladies.
I'm gonna go look into the original Mambo number 5 for everyone else who music connoisseurs. Go check out the original Mambo number 5.
Or just get a little Monica.
We're gonna take a break and settle this.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewParty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second half of the episode. You missed an Upon Further Review in the break. Brent and I shared it. It was about the original Mambo No. 5 by... Perez Prado.
I'm enlightened.
Go listen to it.
I got 5 social culture points.
If you want that extra content, support us on Patreon. We're not on Patreon. Yet? I have
question.
No idea. I have no idea. Probably not. That's far too complicated. Anyway, welcome to the second half of the episode where we do a segment of something different. And before I even say what it is, let me just say, Brent, that it will feature a Yelp review from Yelper TJM.
TJM. What an acronym.
It's T.J. space M.
Mm-hmm.
So
trade Josephine Mark.
What if I told you this was a segment of celebrity reviews?
Okay.
And we have a Yelp review from TJM.
TJM.
And you scoured your mind, scoured your brain, scoured your comedic funny bone backlog for actor comedians who are kind of like that one guy who's funnier than you are, but you love him for it.
The Jim McCary.
No, that would be unique, but... It happens to be T.J. Miller.
T.J. Miller. That's too easy.
It is. It was staring you in the face.
I like T.J. Miller.
I like T.J. Miller, too.
I've heard he might be kind of a dick in real life, but it doesn't mean the man hasn't made a couple funnies.
He's made some. I mean, he's not like... It's been a while since we've talked about celebrity buckets of shame.
Yeah.
But if I had to bozo bucket him into one... I don't know enough about his misgivings and misdeeds to throw him in bucket one.
Bucket of shame, TBA. Anyway, we got a good review.
We got a good review because the man is on Yelp.
Love to see it.
I'm so excited. This is a review for Bell and Anchor. It is a seafood American new cocktail bar restaurant in Sag Harbor, New York. TJ writes... My God, my human God, what a place. They boasted about their bouillabaisse once. I had never known how to spell it, but a sign near the bathroom said, quote, it's back. I had never heard of a bouillabaisse being back, much less gone in the first place. But it sounded like their bouillabaisse went on a trip, found itself, and returned stronger than ever with a new sense of purpose and vigor for life. And it did. Yes, the chowder is amazing. Yes, I have eaten the mussels and accidentally eaten the shells of the mussels, drank the broth on purpose, and lived in the parking lot for 2 days. Of course, everything on the menu is what heaven looks like if you have been good. But the bouillabaisse is something you take home to your mother, and she forgets about you. And she starts bragging to her friends that the bouillabaisse did well in school and made friends at summer camp. So, get the bouillabaisse. Get anything. You'll be happy. But get the bouillabaisse. And don't bring it home to mother. You know the expression, it's nothing to write home about? Write home about the bouillabaisse. Do not take it home. Summer camp will never be the same. Signed, the OYG, Original Yelp Gangster. 5 stars.
I just really would like a Disney Channel original movie about bouillabaisse being the coolest kid at summer camp. I want to see bouillabaisse's first canoe ride, you know? I want to see bouillabaisse have a little crush from a soup across the lake.
You shouldn't be out in the sun. You're in the danger temperature. Oh, no.
I want to see bouillabaisse go for a swim and all the living sea creatures be very afraid that some broth containing their corpses of their family is suspended next to them.
And finally, you want to see bouillabaisse's very human brother.
Right.
Finally gain some respect for himself and for bouillabaisse in the process.
Yeah, I kind of imagine like there's this whole complex story around bouillabaisse. We're just getting information about how we should feel about bouillabaisse from all the other characters. All the other characters are acting like bouillabaisse is awesome.
Right.
Bouillabaisse is great. Meanwhile, bouillabaisse has the sort of plank effect where they're just in every shot doing nothing. But everyone's talking about like they're so amazing. I think that would be great.
Bouillabaisse's little brother, Tad, named after Tad Lincoln, just ignored. You know, so he's not a souffle. So he falls every now and then. That's okay.
It's okay.
Not everyone's a bouillabaisse, okay? Not everyone needs to be complex and flavorful.
The climactic scene, we get a lethargic shot of Tad launching bouillabaisse off of the blob. I got you this time, big bro.
Right, just right.
Representative of their very dynamic relationship that's gone to a new level.
In the quiet moments, you see Tad heating up bouillabaisse on the cast iron stove. It's all right, brother. We'll get through this together.
And as fun as this little fantasy for this Disney Channel original movie is, what a great review from TJ.
Right?
Very good.
He's an entertainer, very good. Man.
Yeah, he wrote a little script for us there. He brought us, I mean, definitely want to fucking go to this restaurant now, that's for sure.
Yelp does show $3 signs. Buy it, be advised.
Sure.
But it's New York. It's a place where a celebrity goes. I mean, it might be worth the $3 signs.
I mean, I don't know any $3 sign restaurants that have signs in by the bathroom that say bouillabaisse is back, though. Yeah. So this place has got its own sort of flavor, I think.
That detail alone is, that's enough to make this a good review.
Yeah, those are my favorite lines. So, like, I have never heard of a bouillabaisse leaving, let alone coming back.
Yes, it's not the McRib or something. People are sitting at the bar, man. What I wouldn't give for some of that bouillabaisse.
Yeah, watching the calendar. Oh, it's March. Bouillabaisse is finally going to come back.
All right.
Why are you excited for March, Dad? Do you like shamrock shakes and Irish-American heritage? Nah, the bouillabaisse is back, baby. I mean, I'm not bringing any home for you. That would be bad.
For Papa. Yeah, you can't bring it home. I guess if I had to logically, like a Virgo, dissect it, maybe they're using seasonal, seafood. They can only get certain times of the year, and that's why bouillabaisse is a get it when you can, and if not, wait till it comes back. Wait till it returns on its sailboat once again.
That could be very. Very
much the Disney Channel
the
sequel, right? Tad at running on the beach.
Bouillabaisse, wait!
I have to leave. Like Frosty has to leave. Take the magic spoon out of Bouillabaisse's bowl, and they just become a normal bowl of bouillabaisse. But is it the spoon that contains Bouillabaisse's soul, or how does that work? We don't know. We don't know. Up to the audience's interpretation.
Yeah. You let the audience make their own judgments, always.
Tad trips in the sand, fucking starts crying and puking and shitting.
Must have had some bad soup.
Yeah, because Bouillabaisse has been off the stove for a minute. The emotional scene where Tad has to eat the old bouillabaisse in order to ensure his brother's return.
Yeah, it's like a morbid Doctor Who regeneration.
It's the circle of reincarnation of that's natural for the bouillabaisse people. Is that all from Mr. TJ today?
I mean, he's got more reviews. Do you want me to?
Let's do another one, definitely. Quickie? Yeah, let's do another one.
Oh, man. This one has a Review of the Day award. So let's see if it's worthy of that award. This is a review for Shabutatsu East Village in New York, New York. TJ writes, "The shabu shabu is divine, but I come for the sukiyaki and stay for the sukiyaki." Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, perfectly so far. Yes. Keep it up.
"It's out of this world. It harkens back to my days as a 12-year-old when I first tried sukiyaki in Japan. I was blown away, boy. My nose fell off, luckily into my mouth. I ate it, and it regrew right then and there. And so is the experience at Shabutatsu. It's out of this world and into a shabu sukiyaki multiverse where all things delicious and simmering are swirling around the atmosphere, making it the at most fear that you will not eat what you are having for dinner in that moment for breakfast. Also, their burnt brown rice tea on ice is a summer necessity. And don't forget to hydrate. You want to be in top form when you order a second round. And one to go. For breakfast, of course. 5 stars.
You know, for a greasy, burnout-looking motherfucker, TJ Miller's got some great taste. Yeah. Sukiyaki and shabu shabu. If you have not sampled that in your lifetime out there, Review Party faithful, you have to enrich yourself. You can't live your life without a little sukiyaki sample. Matt, do you know the finer differences between shabu shabu and sukiyaki, or should
no,
I explain?
Please explain. I do see that this is a Japanese barbecue and hot pot restaurant. I have had hot pot, but I'm assuming it's going to be a bit more in-depth than that.
Yeah, they're both sub-genres of the hot pot, I guess I would say. Okay. I believe, and maybe I'm not 100% on this, but shabu-shabu is when you got a rolling boil of shabu-shabu broth that you dip the meats in to insta-cook them.
Yes!
Yeah, you get that red, red piece of just finely, finely cut meat, and you just dip it in there for 5 seconds, pull it out, and oh, the delicious
dripping
medium well.
Juices.
Yeah, the juices don't even have a chance to leave. They get shocked in there so much, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the sukiyaki is more of shabu-shabu, but ready to go. Shabu-shabu where all the ingredients are settled in there. No dipping required. You know, you're just picking them out. So you get sort of a bowl of broth with so many wonderful, delicious ingredients aesthetically organized over the broth. You can't even see the broth because it's just exploding with shiitake mushrooms and and firm tofu and
the fish cake things, right?
Yep.
Beautiful with the spiral. Mm.
Get some of those in there. Probably some delicious like steak fillets. Sometimes with an egg on the side that you can dip the meat in and then put it back in. Craziness. Anyway, it is just comfort food for comfort food's sake. Nothing will warm you up in the winter more than some delicious sukiyaki. Big recommend, fam. Oh.
Well, that's a good review right there. Wow.
Yeah, that's just for any sukiyaki. That's for you get some D-tier sukiyaki and you're going to be living. I think I should read a review.
Yeah, thanks, TJ. We'll check out with you later.
Yeah, those are some great reviews. Those are above and beyond any of the other celebrity reviews we've had, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the commoners. I have a food review from the highest of Japanese cuisine to Zatarain's jambalaya with cheese.
What?
8 ounce pack of 12.
Okay.
Christine Gorsline titles their review. Did I say from Amazon? This is from Amazon, by the way. Christine Gorsline titles their review. Very short shelf life. I have long been a fan of Zatarain's jambalaya with cheese, but have had trouble finding it in stock recently. I ordered a 12-pack from Amazon to fill that void. While I am used to an almost 2-year shelf life with Zatarain's products, I am very disappointed to see that the, quote, best buy date on what I received is only 4 months from now. I can only assume that this is old stock and has been sitting in Amazon's warehouse for 1.5 years. So what I thought might last me a year or more will now only last me 4 months. Not good, Amazon. 2 stars.
It's probably because nobody wants to buy that stuff. Oh, why would you put cheese on jambalaya?
I mean, maybe a nice little smattering of chihuahua cheese over the top.
No, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe I'm illiterate and uncultured. But
yeah, I think you're right though. With the cheese is not a common ingredient in Louisiana cuisine.
Not to my knowledge, anyway.
Po' boys do not come smattered with American cheese slices.
Yeah, I don't picture the swampy greater Louisiana area and think, yeah, that's where a lot of cows and goats are being milked and cheesed for their products.
Yeah, that's very true. That's why Japanese cuisine doesn't have cheese in it. Don't have
Chinese, you know, either.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have the sort of open land, the rolling fields that you need to raise cattle. They opted for chickens and fish just because that was what was available back in the day.
It's probably healthier too.
A lot healthier than dumping a brick of cheese in your jambalaya.
Yeah. All that said, though, I am sure you're going to be fine. I'm sure you don't need to eat all 12 boxes or however many it was in the next 4 months, because that's a steady weekly routine right there.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable that they purchased rice food with 2 years in mind. He said, perfect. Now I can get on this schedule.
I'm going to be set.
One Zatarain's every other month. Perfect. I just imagine their cupboard is just labeled food items. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. A little prepper-esque.
Mm-hmm. And they had to reschedule the whole thing because this terrible 4 month shelf life. Not even, it's the best buy date, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
You got a fucking year after the best buy date for sure on these products. It's It's dried food powder and dried rice. It's gonna last forever. It's
gonna last. You might not. I don't.
Yeah, this is...
Because if you're gonna use them up in 4 months, that's 3 weeks on, 1 week off. That is a worse schedule than the most busy nurses and firefighters.
They're gonna zat and make it rain, this rice. Do you have a quick review?
I do. This is an Amazon review for the brand name is Lushuking. That's spelled L-S-H-U. Forget it. There's an Amazon review for a 16-inch Muppets Kermit doll guy. And Amazon user SkunkBait78 titles their review, in all caps, "Not Puppet." They write, "It said that it was a puppet, but it wasn't. I wanted to do a thing where Kermit was on my hand and I could make his mouth move, but when it arrived, it was not a puppet." 1 star.
That.
Now, I know.
That's a hard review to swallow, dude.
I know at the beginning of this episode, or not even at the beginning, but earlier in this episode, we gave someone a bit of flack, a bit of Roberta, for overusing the word stupid, possibly, where you could have used other words. However, Skunk Bait really had the opportunity to use the word, what is it? Puppet. Just one more time to make them not sound like a complete stupid idiot, as someone might say.
And what did they opt to do instead? Just to make it clear. Nothing.
I want to do a thing where I put Kermit on my hand and I move his mouth. But he's not a puppet, so I can't do the thing where I put him on my hand and move his mouth.
Listen, I want to sit on this two-wheeled instrument and move around.
I was thinking of a bike.
but it's not a bicycle, so I can't. I want to lay on this thing and take a nap, but it's not a bed, so I can't. What I was thinking is, like, any stuffed animal can be a puppet with a pair of scissors, bro.
That is true.
You know, you're going to get some itchy and scratchy shows with all the cotton in there. But where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, yeah. You stick like a dishwashing glove up there.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be fine.
You can do your funny, funny Kermit act. And for all your friends, you know, you just... There's just a little obstacle to overcome. Yeah,
Kermit.
But imagine wanting a Kermit puppet and not double checking that it was a puppet you were ordering. That's a little bothersome to me.
Defeated. Yeah. You just log off Amazon and make Chrome forget your password, because you shouldn't buy any more things.
Kermit the Muppet here, just letting everyone know that we are not puppets. Actually,
they're Muppets.
Does real life Kermit have a hand up his butt to make him make his mouth move?
So many songs about Kermit. I think there's probably different Kermit models
for different activities.
When you need to see Kermit strumming his banjo sitting on that log.
Yeah, because I know his hands are definitely the classic wire rod. Right, which you can definitely set up on a stuffed animal.
You can, yeah. You can buy ones that will clip on.
Yeah, I'm not even sure this person understands what a puppet is.
You can puppet many things. Just look at Charlie Chaplin. He puppeted bread rolls with forks. Yeah,
a knife is a knife is a knife is a knife is a knife, right?
I've heard that before.
A Muppet is a Muppet is a Muppet is a Muppet is a Muppet.
It's on you to make it come to life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. We are in control. All right. Let that empower you. If you want a fucking Kermit to be a Muppet, you make that Kermit your Muppet. All right. Unless it's somebody else's, don't beat up a child and take their Kermit puppet to make a funny joke. Please purchase it from Amazon or some other provider. I'm going to leave the audience with that sage advice.
That's good advice.
And before they can thank me for changing their life and their perception of what a puppet can and should be to them, I'm going to say thank you to you, listener, for making it all the way to the end of episode 104. Welcome to the Real Ones Club. Welcome to the Real Ones Club. Glad to have you here. We would love to ask you to follow this podcast wherever you might have found it. Spotify, iTunes, subscribe, follow. You know what the button is. It helps us out a ton. And it guarantees that, you know, you don't forget about us. Mm-hmm. That we're popping up saying hello every now and then.
Hello.
Because we got new episodes of this beast every Tuesday Reviews Day. That's right. We got hashtags. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. Every Tuesday morning, a new episode of ReviewParty.com. There to make you laugh in your inbox. We've gone 104 weeks straight, showing no signs of stopping. Cool. If you'd like to send in one of these funny reviews that we've been talking about, we'd love to read it on air and throw you some credit for it. Send a hyperlink or a screenshot of the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name so we can give you some credit on the show.
If you want to reach out in some other way, shape, or form, I mean, you can just email us to say, hey, what's up, boys? But you can do that, like, from your phone, from Instagram or TikTok or Twitter. You can do it all those places. On Instagram and TikTok, you can find us at reviewparty.com and on Twitter at reviewpartypod. If you're not so much for saying, hey, how's it going, then you can just direct your computer towards reviewparty.com.com, where you can find all of the episodes, all of the platforms we're available on, even though you're listening to one right now, presumably, unless you're being like strapped down and forced to hear it and you don't know what app they're using and you think, well, they could use a different app. It might have better features. Anyway, that's there. So's the blog. So's the shop. So's the sign up for the newsletter to let you know what the heck is going on with this show on a weekly basis.
I can't wait till the day I open the email. We get an email subject line. Hey, you click on the email. Body. What's up, boys?
Yeah, send it to us. Do it, I guess. Okay, if you're new here, we're glad you're here. I just wanted to say that. Just for me. Just from me.
That's from Matt. If you're new here, Brent's got nothing to say to you.
You need to prove yourself to Brent. It's fine. I am already on your side, but it's a tough pill.
Listen, I already said thank you for making it to the end of the episode. So, you know, you're not going to get much more out of me without a little effort there, listener. One thing you could do to get on my good side is point your Spotify to the old nosebleeds. That's right. You've heard their jam, Bread for Breakfast, throughout the episode. They're kind enough to let us use it for our theme. If you thought it was bitchin', I am happy to tell you there are more bitchin' tunes by Nosebleeds on Spotify. Once again, search them on Spotify. Nosebleeds, one word. I think it's ready for the final review of the week here.
Goody, goody.
Goody, this review from Amazon to see us off is for the signature design by Ashley Party Time faux leather power reclining sofa with LED lighting black. It is one of those theater sofas. You can bring down the back of the middle chair that's all connected to make a rest in the middle of the two.
Okay.
And you can also flip up the headrest and there's an LED light on it for some reason. Kind of weird.
that was what I wanted to explain. if you're just reading instead. Okay, cool.
Yep. This review is written by Wanda J. Frank. They title it Angry Emoji. Came from the warehouse missing a huge piece and Ashley's are giving us hell. 2 stars.
Oh, Ashley's.